When Drusel opened the access door, however, and a square of natural light fell down and illuminated us both, they realized we were much closer than they thought, and we were about to escape.
There they are!
I see them!
Stun them now!
This might be it. I hoped Drusel would get away and give the Alliance an edge in the war, regardless of what happened to me. She was pulled bodily through the opening by Nakari, giving me a clear path up and out. I wouldn't make it before the ISB had taken their shots, though. They raised their blasters at me and fired, expanding blue halos of energy that would disrupt my neural system and drop me unconscious, or maybe even kill me, considering I would be getting three blasts at almost the same instant. Choosing to stun instead of shoot plasma bolts at me, however, indicated that they would like an interrogation before my execution. I held my lightsaber in front of me, blade aligned horizontally, but pointing slightly toward the agents so that the tip would meet the oncoming wave first. There was no dodging to be done, and no great skill with the force required. Either the lightsaber would save me, or it wouldn't. And it did. Sort of. There was a crackle as the blasts hit the blade, and a blue spider web of energy that shimmered outward as the blast dissipated, leaving me conscious and the ISB agents flabbergasted. But before it dissipated, some of the energy kissed the fingers I was using to hold the hilt of the lightsaber. They went numb, and I dropped the weapon. Perhaps against a single stun blast, that wouldn't have happened. But against three, something got through. Now the agents could simply fire again, and I'd be knocked out. Nakari! Help! I yelled as I leapt down from the ladder, grabbed my blaster, and fired at the agents, who were slow to recognize that the tactical situation had abruptly changed. They recovered quickly after the first one cried out with a charred hole in his chest. Whatever armor he was wearing wasn't up to deflecting the heat from my blaster turned up to maximum. The second one, standing in the middle, fired a stun blast a split second after my shot rocked him, and the charge sailed harmlessly into the ceiling. The third one, however, had a clear shot at me, and he took it. His blaster pointed down so that the center of the blast would slam into me. One of the features of stunning someone is that you don't have to be a very good sharpshooter, thanks to the spreading footprint of the blast. But in this case, that worked in my favor. The lower edge, skimming the wet floor, ran into the blade of my lightsaber, still glowing and lying prone on the floor. And as soon as it did, the blade dissipated the blast with the same crackle of electricity as before. Nakari shot the last agent before I could, her bolt coming from above. I looked up and saw her head and right arm dangling down the access hatch. She'd fired accurately upside down. "Thanks," I said.
"No problem. Hold on."
She calmly fired again into the body of each agent.
"Why'd you do that?"
"Need to make sure. You'll be vulnerable for a few seconds while you climb up here. And if one of them is still alive, we can't have him taking a free shot at you."
It was a valid point, but not one I had considered. Even if I had thought of it, I'm not sure I would have followed through and shot them again. Something about it struck me as bloodthirsty, or simply not quite right. I'd have to think about it some more. I kept all such thoughts to myself as I holstered my blaster, retrieved my lightsaber, and returned it to my belt after turning it off. It was my first opportunity to get a good look at my left hand. There was skin missing around the knuckles and a bit off the tips, and it was still bleeding. It was also completely soiled and horrific, and I needed to get it scoured and dipped in an entire vat of sanitizing solution. But we weren't out of trouble yet. I imagined we wouldn't be for quite some time. I longed for time enough to make myself presentable before ascending into public, but we had to get to the ship as fast as possible. I climbed up quickly and immediately began to strip off my, formerly, white outer tunic. We had planned to change later anyway, but I couldn't wait. The dark tunic underneath was wet and probably smelled awful, but at least it wasn't encrusted with waste. Nakari wrinkled her nose.
"Oh, Luke, what is that all over you? Did you slip and fall into...
Let's not talk about it, okay? If we don't say it out loud, then maybe I can forget about it in a few thousand years.
Hey, everybody has accidents.
She was fighting hard to stifle a smile, but appeared to be losing the battle. I'm sure I was blushing. I felt the heat in my face. Nakari kicked the access door shut, and we crammed into an enclosed speeder with a dark-tinted cockpit. R2 and Drusel were already waiting inside, and I shoved the repulsors to maximum thrust, heading for a parking structure at the edge of the district. Nakari and Drusel exchanged equations courteously, and Drusel thanked us for the continuing rescue attempt.
I do hope to reiterate my gratitude after a successful escape, she added,
her words emphasizing that we still had a long way to go. We had another rented speeder waiting in the parking structure, and we took the time to change clothes completely before getting out into the view of security cams. We had a cowled hood for Drusel to wear so that her face would be completely hidden, and R2 would attempt to jam local transmissions for the few minutes we were inside the garage, since we could do little to disguise him. When we had planned the operation the day before, I thought this part was an excess of caution and sacrifice speed for skullduggery. But Nakari insisted. She was convinced the ISB would be scouring all security feeds in search of us. And if they picked us up before we got off-planet, we'd be hard-pressed to fight off the reinforcements they could summon. R2 had programmed a course into the speeder's rudimentary navigation computer that would take it out of the garage and fly a random pattern in the Lodos district. It was a ruse that wouldn't hold up forever, but like everything else we did, it was designed to give us a bit more time. We just needed enough to jump out of the system. Let them go ahead and piece everything together, Nakari said, just as long as they did so too late to stop us. While R2's jamming program operated, we clambered into another speeder